We are continuing to talk about walking free from fear. Today I want to talk to you about doubt, and I want to explain that doubt is a form of fear. Doubt is a form of fear. And many of you have things, dreams. Some of you have suppressed those dreams so far because it just seems too impossible. Many of you have great obstacles to overcome. Many of you have things, even this morning, that you say, you know what, and let me explain this to you. There is a fork in the road, and God is asking you to step out in faith and to put your trust in Him. You cannot walk in faith and walk in doubt at the same time. You cannot do it. And we're going to look at a passage. Imagine this. Imagine this. How many know God is straight up? Sometimes, how many know, sometimes directness we do not enjoy. We want people to mince their words and not be straightforward and tiptoe through the tulips. But God's not that way. He'll just tell you straight up what's going on in your life. And to a gentleman who has an opportunity to fear, He says to that person, you know what? Fear not. Only believe. And we say, yes, hallelujah, amen, just like you two did. Amen, hallelujah. And that's fine. It's a good thing to say that. That's a proper response. But let me set it up. He is told this by Jesus after hearing the report that his 12-year-old daughter has just died. I wonder how many people around there were saying, wow, that's not very sympathetic of Jesus. That's not very compassionate. But can I tell you what? How you view compassion, Jesus views it another way. Jesus is about to, this man has an opportunity to save his daughter. And the opportunity he has to save his daughter is through trusting in Jesus. If I ask you, how many of you have a mess in your life? You know what? Many hands would go up. And I'm telling you the same thing this morning, that you have a fork in your road. And you can go back to how you used to roll. You know what? Where there's doubt and unbelief, and you listen, and you justify that doubt and unbelief. How many know misery loves company? And you find people who will, you find, listen, you find even some Christian people who will cry in, I said Christian people, who will cry in your Cheerios with you. But I've learned, when you cry in your Cheerios, all you get is cruddier tasting Cheerios. That's all you get. That's all you get. Listen, I don't need somebody to cry in my Cheerios with me when I have an opportunity to walk in fear or walk in faith. I need somebody to look me in the eye and say, hey, today is the day, young man. Today is the day, young lady. Today is the day. Stand up and be counted. Put your faith in God. Put your trust in God. See, I don't know what you're dreaming about, but here's what I know. I know the dreams that I've been able to fulfill in my life, you know what, have come as I just took a step in the right direction. And I took the step in the right direction. I took a step in the right direction. And each time I stepped, there was nobody cheering for me. There was nobody saying, wow, you know what, Drew? You know what? You know what? You were hooked in lust and you recognized it and you heard God. And you started making a step. You read a book. You listened to a podcast. You know what? You stopped going to places where it was inappropriate. And just so you know, I'm not talking about a strip bar, okay? Just so you know. No, really. It was just an incremental step. It was just a, you know what, I'm not going to go to the mall anymore. There's too many people walking, with too many ladies walking totally with inappropriate clothes on. Well, what are you saying, I can't go to the mall? You can do whatever you want. That's not the point. My point is, you know what, I figured out what I had to do. You know what? And nobody was standing up and cheering. But can I tell you what? God is cheering for me. And as God is cheering for you, and as each step that we take towards the things that we know are right to do, we've got a whole bunch of people trying to pull us the other way, including your flesh. And what I'm telling you this morning is every single one of us have a fork in the road today. And you know what it has to do with? It has to do with trusting in God or coming back and being afraid. That's what it has to do with. And what I want to teach you very quickly today is I want to teach you, you know what, how to put your trust in God. How many know this might be a good thing for us to learn today? How do we do it? Well, let's look at some scriptures, and we'll walk through this story, starting with Matthew chapter 5, verse 22, up here on the screens. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, this man's name's Jairus, and he is a ruler of the synagogue, and he comes, and when he saw him, Jesus, he fell at his feet. Next verse. And begged him earnestly, saying, my little daughter lies to the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her that she might be healed and she will live. Notice he's putting his trust in Jesus. He's putting his trust in Jesus. Matthew chapter 9, verse 18. Guys, you got to flow with me today. Matthew chapter 9, verse 18. It just a same story, but I want to see how Matthew says it. While he spoke these things to him, behold, a ruler came and worshiped him, saying, my daughter has just died, but come and lay your hands on her, and she will live. You see, he's putting his trust totally in God. He's putting his trust in God. Go back to Matthew chapter 5 and look at verses 25 and 26. I'm sorry, Mark. Mark 5. Now a certain woman had a flow for 12 years. Actually, guys, I'm sorry, I said 25. I meant 35. 35, guys. While he was still speaking, some came for the ruler of the synagogue's house, who said, your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? How many know this is awful news? Next verse. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not be afraid, only believe. This father is just told his daughter is dead. And Jesus says, you know what? Don't give up hope. Now listen, I don't know what you're going through, but I could almost guarantee you the worst news anybody would ever receive, the most hopeless news anybody would ever receive, the time to completely give up hope would be when somebody comes and tells you your daughter is dead. I can't imagine anything that would cause you to be more fearful than that. I just can't even imagine it. And so I use this example because I don't want anything, yeah, but you don't know what I'm going through. You know what I mean? I lost my job. You know what? My husband's going to leave me. I'm not saying those aren't catastrophic things. What I'm saying is it's not as big as this. And Jesus says to him, hey, you have a fork in the road right now. And you have an opportunity, and you can choose two things. You can choose to believe them, or you can stay with what you knew, which was come to me and put your faith in me and believe in me. And what I'm telling you is do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Here's what the Holy Spirit is saying to you, whatever you're going through. Do not be afraid. Because you know what you need to be afraid of? Fear. Fear will grip you. It will hold you. Yeah, but you don't know what I'm facing. You know what? They're saying I'm going to go to jail. They're saying, you know what? I'm going to do this. They're saying this is going to happen. Listen to me. God is saying, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I don't care what you face. God is saying he's got the integrity to say this. Listen, in me, I can get you out of your mess. But listen to me. But I cannot get you out of your mess if you continue. If you will listen to them, I can't help you. Now you say, Pastor, but that's not, wait, Pastor. Listen, when Jesus went to his hometown, he could not help them, and it had nothing to do. He'd heal this person, heal that person, heal this person, heal this person. I mean, blindness, deafness, mute, leprosy, all this stuff. He goes to his hometown and he can do hardly anything except the Bible says these minor miracles, a couple people got their colds taken care of. Everywhere else he's going, they're bringing all the sick to him and he's healing them all. And it's teaching us something. It's teaching us, you know what? If you choose to walk in fear, then you're going to live those consequences. And if this young man's child dies, it won't be because Jesus didn't tell him what to do. And Jesus is telling you the same thing. You need to be afraid of something. Be afraid of fear. Oh, that's great, Pastor. That's great, Pastor. But how do I... You're telling me not to fear? But I got something to be afraid of. Well, how many know at Hope we give you practical applications? Come on, somebody. I mean, let me tell you what. Hope might have some things wrong with it, but I tell you what, you're not going to leave today not knowing a do this and do that and do that and apply it in your life. And you'll whether you do it or not, that's a different subject. But I firmly am proud of the fact that, you know what, we give you some stuff to do when you go home. Amen? Amen. Amen. Where do you get that? I get that right. All my points are right out of the word. Amen. Because that's how God is. God says, here's what I want you to do. Joshua chapter 1, follow me up here on the screens, starting with verse 6. Look what it says. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people shall be divided as an inheritance the land which I swore to your fathers to give them. Next verse. Only be... How many know God is not afraid to be repetitious? Why? Because we need a repetition of motor learning. Somebody needs to hear today more than once. You got to be strong and courageous. Only be strong and not courageous, very courageous, that you might observe to do according to all which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or the left, that you might prosper wherever you go. See, listen, God is telling you to be prosperous. God is telling, how is he doing it? Here's how. Through you being strong and courageous. Yeah. Pastor, are you going to tell me how to do this? I'm going to tell you how to do it. But we got to receive what God is telling us. Be strong and courageous. Verse 9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and in good courage. Do not be afraid or do not be afraid. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. You look at me. I don't intimidate you. Well, I don't sweat you. Amen. I might not intimidate you, but let me tell you what, God and me better intimidate you, amen? Not that you're not on my side, but do you understand what I'm saying? We got to understand. We cannot let our enemy intimidate us. Next verse. Then Joshua commanded the officers, the people, saying, pass through the camp and command the people, saying, prepare provision for yourself, for within 3 days, you will cross over the Jordan and go to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess. Whoa! Yeah! See, you know why you get all excited? Because you don't know who was in the land. Who's in the land? You guys got this in the back? You got a list of who's back? Who's... Say yes or no. Okay, all right, all right, all right. Yeah, there you go. That's good. That'll work. Then he told them and said, we went to the land which we sent. This is years earlier. Land which we sent to us. It truly flows with milk and honey. And this is its fruit. They had fruits. But watch what else. Nevertheless. Somebody say nevertheless. See, here's the thing. I'm telling you, some of the things you're facing are not little things. I know that by the sensitivity of the Holy Spirit. I'm saying, hey, listen, this guy was facing his daughter's death. That ain't bigger than what you got going on. What were these people facing? You know what? Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. Next verse. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell in the sea along the banks of the Jordan. We got ites all over the place. We got them in the sea. We got them in the banks. We got them in the mountains. We got ites all over the place. And these guys have been there for a long time. They're fortified. They're strong. They're entrenched. How are we to become strong and courageous? How do we be strong and courageous? Well, I got 3 points that are going to rock your boat, and I hope you're taking notes today. Number one, we must follow his instruction. We must follow his instruction. God is about to tell them these crazy things to do. The first city that they go into, you know what city it was? Jericho? No, not Jericho. It was Jericho. Just came to me. It was Jericho. The first city they come in Jericho, and they're given instructions that here's all I'm saying. When you have an opportunity to doubt or to trust God, the first thing you have to do, and this is deep, is trust him. It's like, oh, yeah, I'll do it. Okay, you need to do this. I don't want to do that. You know what I mean? You know what? This is like, you know what, one of my favorite movies. You know what? Karate Kid. You know, one of the best movies ever made. One of the best movies ever made. Okay? And the guy's like, and remember, I don't know if you remember this scene. It's a great scene. I should have it. But you know what he says? Do you want to be trained in karate? Yes. He says, okay. You know what? Are you sure? Yes. Will you do what I tell you to do? Yes. Remember, and then he puts that thing on his head. You know what I mean? He walks away thinking, ooh, I'm going to go tomorrow and get trained in karate. He comes tomorrow, and what does he get? He gets a sponge and gets to wash all the cars. Remember this? He's like, hey, I thought you were going to teach me in karate. You know what I mean? And what did the guy say? He said, look I. Always look I. One of my favorite lines. Okay, anyway. No, he said other stuff. But he said this. He said, listen, he said, did you tell me just last night you were going to do what I told you to do? He's like, yeah. All right, wash the cars. How many know he was being trained? See, we do the same thing. We say, you know what? Yes, Lord, I will follow your instruction. Yes, sir, I will not doubt. I'll follow your instruction. Do whatever you say. As long as what you say is what I want to do. Hello, somebody. See, it's the first thing. We must follow his instruction. Number one, you got to follow his instruction. Joshua 1:7. Look at this. Joshua 1:7. Be strong and courageous that you might observe. That you might observe to do according to all which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it. You got to do what I commanded. You got to do it. Mark 9:23. Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. You got to put your trust in God. You got to believe in God. Mark 9, verses 14 through 24. And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude around them, and the scribes disputing with them. Immediately, when he saw him, all the people were greatly amazed and running to him to greet him. And he asked the scribes, what are you discussing with them? And one of the crowd answered and said, teacher, I brought to you my son who was a mute. And whenever it sees him, it threw him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out him, but they could not. Now watch this. He answered and said to them, oh, faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. Next verse. Then he brought him to him, and when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foam at his mouth. So he asked the father, listen, this is really critical. How long has it been happening to him? And he said, from childhood. How often he has thrown himself into the fire and the water and destroyed him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us. Have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Now, go back to this, all things are possible. How many know this scripture? How many knew the context of which this scripture is said? It's said in the context of a father who has a son who's been jacked up for a long, long time. You say, Pastor, why do you say that? Because here's what God's saying. He's saying, listen. And you say, what does that have to do with me obeying his commandments? Yeah. See, the first thing you got to do is obey his commandments. Yeah. Let me correlate. When he tells you to do something, if you don't believe it, you're not going to do it. What, you remember the man who, you know what, he had leprosy? He said, they go wash. He's like, I ain't going to go wash. You know what I mean? I don't want to go to Lake and wash. That's stupid, Lake. You know what I mean? I ain't going to Lake. And then he's like, the guys have to run to it. Here, the guys, his servants have to run to him and say, what are you doing? Here's what I'm saying. Guys, catch this. You know what? And Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible. Will you believe when I tell you to do something that makes no sense to you? Will you do it? I ain't gonna love my wife. You know what? She, I loved her enough. It don't work. You know what? Oh, okay. Oh, I got you. Love never fails. But you don't believe that. I've been nice to her for, you know what, 40 hours. You know what I mean? She's still not rubbing my back. Ooh. Aren't you the rock of Gibraltar? All I'm saying to you is, here's what I'm saying. Listen, God is going to tell you to do some things that'll seem crazy to you. You have to believe him. Will you do what I ask you to do when your son has been jacked up for so? That's the context of Jesus saying, if you can believe, all things are possible. What's a reciprocal of that? Hermeneutical principle. Okay, how do you say the word? What's the reciprocal of this? If you cannot believe, then you know what? Good luck. You know what I mean? Say it that way. But you know what? If you can't believe, you know what? Then there's really nothing possible. Then you'll be stuck with you figuring everything out in the natural. You're going to do what God says? You're going to trust, put your, number one thing, you have to put your trust in God. Number two, are you learning today? You have to put your trust in God. Number two, we cannot be intimidated by the feelings. You cannot be intimidated by the feelings. These guys come to him and say, she's dead. Okay, and Jesus is like, okay. Don't listen to them. I believe at this point, and I don't know, we'll watch the video when we get to heaven, but I believe in this point, Jesus might have even got down on one knee and done this very thing and said, Jairus, focus. Don't listen to that. You can't afford that right now. Don't be afraid. Come over here. Only believe. You know what Jesus did? Go to Mark chapter 5, verse 37. I want you to see this. So as soon as Jesus heard, and Jesus permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. There's all these people following them. All these people. You think they don't want to see what's going to happen? But did you think they heard? Because I think they heard the same thing that Father heard. And he says, hey, y'all, stay here. Look at this. And he permitted. You know what that means? Can I tell you what? When people are coming with doubt and unbelief, you got to figure out who you're going to let go, who you're going to let in your house. Amen? And he's like, y'all ain't going. Well, who's going to stop him? Jesus is going to stop him. You know when Jesus turned the tables over, you know he had a whip? You know who made the whip? You know, Jesus made the whip? Yeah, get out your Bible and read it. It's an awesome book. Amen? Jesus made the whip. See, some people think, you know, you get these images of, a 100, a pound kind of, what? Listen, Jesus didn't wear those funky shoes that curl up that the elves wear, okay? Hello, somebody? He didn't wear those shoes, amen? Jesus was a bad dude. Jesus says, you ain't coming. Let me tell you who's going. Peter can go, James can go, and John can go. That's it. Papa can go. Come on, let's go. It's so interesting because if you study this out, let's move on. Next verse. Then he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and said to the tumult and those who wept and wailed loudly. Then Jesus came in and he said to them, why make this commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping. They ridiculed him. See, now he's dealing with another group of unbelievers. Nobody could come with him, but he's got a bunch of people at the house. And when he had put them all outside, you, and you out. Love y'all. Don't leave. I'm just. Did you catch this? You guys are out of here. See, do you see this? Here's my point. Don't forget my second point. You know what? You cannot be intimidated by your feelings. You cannot let the opposition. They're going to have opposition. Rudy is going to have his dad telling him, you're just like this. And you know what? If you follow your dreams, all you're going to do is bring heartache to everybody else. And you got to have the intelligence to say, no, I won't hear what you're saying. I won't listen to that. Guys in the back, go back to Mark chapter 5, verse 35. Mark chapter 5, verse 35. I want you to see something here. And while he was still speaking, some came of the rulers of the synagogue's house and said, your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? Next verse. As soon as Jesus, watch this, heard the word that was spoken. Now, if you looked at the Greek, this heard the word that was spoken. That heard the word that was spoken is one Greek word. One Greek word. And that Greek word is only found one other time in the gospel. Sometimes it helps to look and see where a Greek word is found in another place because it gives you context of what's really happening here. So they read that word in their translating this. They read it, and here's how they translate it. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken. And that's a okay translation, but the Greek is so detailed that you don't, it's a great language in, because it's very specific. English isn't as specific. So sometimes the translation, you don't catch what he's saying. Let me show you where the one other place where this word is used. You want to see it? And get ready to be excited because it's an awesome understanding. Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. Are you guys all with me? Matthew chapter 18. And let's start with verse 16. But if he will not hear, if he will not hear, this is Jesus bringing correction. How many know there needs to be discipline in the church? I'll try that again. How many know there needs to be discipline in the church? Okay. And Jesus is bringing correction. And he's saying, here's how I want you to do it. I want you to go to this person, you know what, alone first. But here's what he said. But if he will not hear, take with you one or two more. Okay, watch this. That by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word might be established. Next verse. Here it is. Here it is. And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he refuses to hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector. Well, I don't have time to teach this, but I have time to show you that word. That word is right here. But if he refuses to hear them, that's that word, that same word. If he refuses to hear him. So let me put, you said, Pastor, I don't understand. Okay, I'm going to put it all together for you. So Jesus heard them. He heard this guy saying, them saying, your child is dead. He heard it, but he refused to hear him. And if you are reading it in the English, all it does is it says he overheard them. But that's not what the Greek says. The Greek says, but he heard them, but he refused to hear them. You ever heard somebody and you're too busy doing something and you act like you didn't hear them? Some of you don't want to. I don't know. Did I say yes or no? Just say yes because you did. Amen. Okay. See, that's what you have to do in the face of opposition. See, I'm telling you, if you're going to listen to all the naysayers, all the people telling you can't walk in faith, all the people saying you can't be an intern, all the people saying you can't do whatever it is that he's saying, you'll never do this. You'll never, there's all these naysayers. And you've got to, you know what, hear them, but not hear them. You know what? Pay no attention to them. You know what? But Jesus, heard the word that they spoke. One version says he overheard them. But the reality is Jesus heard them, but he didn't heed their words. See, you can't shut up all the noise. You have to minimize it. You have to minimize it. And when you can control it, control it. Remember what Joshua said? Joshua 6:10. Look at this, Joshua 6:10. Now Joshua had commanded the people saying, you shall not shout or make. This is when he's given the instruction. Watch this. He's given the instruction. Listen, you might be careful not even to tell anybody what instruction Jesus gave you. Because you're just opening up, you know, you can talk to Tamara and I because we'll believe with you, amen? We're your covering. You should bounce things off of us. But I'm telling you, you better be careful who you start telling about. Ooh, you know what? And, you're telling all your brothers. Ooh, let me tell you what's going on. And I'm going to be up, oh, you know what? And there's these sheaves. And there was, you know, me, I'm a big sheave. And you're little sheaves. And you know what? And you all bow down to me. How many know you got to be smart in who you tell? And you know what? And even in yourself, part of yourself is how many of you recognize you can feel this pull over to not believing God. And you better be careful who you tell, because you know what? Misery loves company. You get a bunch of people to pull you, and you think they're walking in wisdom. Oh, I'm going to walk in wisdom. Yeah, walking in wisdom. You just found a bunch of people that are told you what you wanted to hear. How many know you asking? You see, you're walking for, you know what? So, you know, oh, Mickey, you know what? This is what I hear. Oh, no. You know, Mickey says, no, you should do what God's saying. You know what? Hey, Joel, you know what? I heard God. No, you should do what God's saying. You know, hey, Isaac, you know what? No, you should do what God's saying. You know what? You know what? Hey, you know what? Hey, you know, what do you think I should do? How many of you go to enough people, you're going to find somebody who says, I don't think that's smart. And all of a sudden, you found wisdom. And all it was is you just justified, you found what you wanted to hear. And Joshua had already heard all this stuff. We can't. He already heard all the can't. The 12, and listen, and there were 12 people who influenced everybody else. And Joshua's like, I am not. How many know Joshua is 40 years older now? You know what? How many know sometimes we got to recognize, hey, we don't got all day. We're running out of time, amen? So Joshua's like, uh-uh! He knew what the problem was. The problem is people's mouths, amen? Look at your neighbor but smile. Say, the problem is people's mouths. How many know the problem can be your mouth, too? Amen? And Joshua commanded the saying, you shall not shout nor make noise with your voice. You are not going to, you know, jeopardize the program based on your analysis that God's, that his plan is foolishness to walk around this thing. You know what, 7 days and then do this, you know, trumpets. Ah! You know what? All this, you know, that ain't going to make the walls fall down. You be quiet. And you need to do the same. He heard them, but Jesus didn't take heed to what they said. You got to hear what God's saying. You've got to shut up the naysayers. You've got to shut up the opposition. You know what? And number three thing, or actually this is... you know what? You can't allow your feelings. Because what is going to affect your feelings? You know what? That's what's going to affect your feelings. Number one, you know what? The task itself. How many of the task itself could be an enormous? You know what I mean? Number two, the naysayers. Number three, the duration. How many have been believing for something longer than 30 days? And we in our microwave popcorn mentality, we're like, oh, man, I guess that one God. Oh, wow, it took a whole 30 days for it to come to pass. Can't let the duration. You know what the Bible says? How we receive the promises of God? Through faith. Who knows what the other thing is? And patience. See, you got to keep on believing. You can't stop. When do you stop? When you see it, amen? Or it's when you can stop believing for it. Amen. And finally, and I'll close with this, you know what it comes down to? You got to do what God asks you to do. I mean, here's you got a choice, Papa. You can start grieving right now where you are. You can feel those feelings and submit to how you feel and start weeping and cry for the death of your child right now. Or you can come with me and we're going to raise her up from the dead. And for some of you, you know what? You just need to step out in faith. For some of you, God is saying, you need to break up with that guy. I'm just saying.
Yeah, but.
I'm just saying, figure out what you're going to do. For some of you, you know what? I'm just saying. For some of you, you need to start walking in love with your spouse. Yeah, but I forgave them, and then they did it again. Oh, wow. Yeah, wow. Yeah, and God forgave you a whole three times, too. You know, the Bible says about forgiveness, the Bible says, you know what, how you measure it out, that's how it's going to be measured back to you. If you don't forgive others, neither will my Father in heaven forgive you of your sin. And you're right with Peter. You got your calculator out. And you're doing it to the one that you committed to, you know what, to love for the rest of your life. And the Bible says love keeps no record of wrongs. Could you put your calculator away? Yeah, I will as soon as my spouse stops. Oh, my. You just, listen, if you want a kung fu grip, you know what, your unforgiveness, then you can all you want. But that's a problem in the relationship. I don't know what he's saying to you, but ultimately, you better get on it. Because Jesus is saying, hey, we are going to keep all these people are staying here, but you and I, we got something to do. So I'm pretending like you guys are unbelievers. How many know there's a lot of Christians that are unbelievers? We're leaving all these unbelievers here because we can't afford to take them with us. We got to get on it. Amen. And when you do it, just let me go back to one more thing and I'll close. When you take that step, just recognize, you know what? You might not have 50,000 people cheering for you like Rudy. But God's cheering for you. When that father started to take that step with Jesus, I guarantee Jesus was like, yes, we got this. And when he raised that little girl from the dead, he looked at her. I mean, that's probably such a great thing. You know, hey, man, she's hungry. How many sometimes you can look at a 12-year-old just know they're hungry? Get her something. Get her a peanut butter jelly sandwich. Can you get her some food? Father, we thank you for your goodness towards us. We thank you for what we're being taught. We thank you that we would take heed to what you were saying. We thank you for the points of opportunity this morning as people are in the fork in the road to either believe and put their trust in God or to just give up. I pray that we will believe you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen.